Hello, you're listening to a September 2014 podcast from the Institute for Research in Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this podcast, we're going to be talking to Joe Glass, a professor at UW-Madison School of Social Work, who researches alcohol and drug addictions. I recently spoke with Professor Glass about a study he's working on that looks at disparities in the effects of alcohol consumption by race, ethnicity, and poverty status. So let's turn to Professor Glass to see how he got started with this project.
What really motivated this project is that there's a finding that comes up in the field over and over again, and what that is that if you hold how much you drink constant, African Americans and Hispanics tend to have more negative consequences due to their drinking than whites do.
So these negative consequences or symptoms or outcomes, these are things associated with unhealthy alcohol use, and Glass says they can appear in many different forms.
So people tend to have problems with their family, problems at work, or other types of social problems. Drinking too much can also lead to psychological problems such as mood swings, depression, symptoms of anxiety, and also medical problems. And so when people start experiencing these things specifically due to their drinking, then they're considered to be having symptoms of alcohol use disorder. So if you experience enough of the symptoms in any of these areas, repeatedly, then you might meet criteria for an alcohol use disorder.
A lot of these symptoms that Glass is talking about can be associated with things other than just drinking. So I asked him how researchers like him know that some issue stems from a person's drinking and not from some other factor.
All of the symptoms of alcohol use disorder can be observed or asked about in some form or fashion. So here's an example. One pretty nasty symptom is what researchers call role failure, which is simply when someone fails to attend to an important role in their life due to their drinking. So we researchers can ask whether drinking has made it difficult to work, to study, or to take care of your children, or whatever type of role is pertinent to that individual. So when asking these questions, we'll tie them specifically to someone's drinking or being intoxicated or even being hungover can interfere with these things. So when we ask these questions, we'll also pay close attention to how often these behaviors are experienced when drinking. If it happens just once, it could be an aberration. But repeating the same negative behavior over and over again or having a consequence due to drinking that you just don't do anything about, that would let us know that, yeah, there is a problem in that area.
Let's go back to this finding that African Americans and Hispanics tend to have more negative outcomes due to their drinking than whites do. Glass says that these differences appear to be linked to exposure to various stressors, including poverty.
We all know that racial and ethnic minority groups in the U.S., and particularly African Americans, are more likely to live in poverty than whites. So we can think of poverty as a stressor that can contribute to the worst outcomes among racial and ethnic groups. But we can also think is poverty as a stressor that comes with a lot of other risk factors.
These risk factors can include things like access to health care and less choice in terms of where a person might be able to get that care from. And Glass points out that the neighborhood someone lives in and the stores that they're able to go to seem to make a difference when it comes to drinking.
You'll often find that stores in poorer neighborhoods tend to market these huge inexpensive bottles and cans that are ready to drink. They pack a lot of alcohol, things like malt liquor, and they're already chilled, so they're ready to go, often sold in bags to consume on the street or by yourself. And what's different about stores in more affluent neighborhoods is that they tend to market largely types of alcohol that you'd, you know, bring home and drink over time. There's often multiple bottles in a package, the type of alcohol that you would drink with others or maybe bring to a party. So poverty is definitely one condition that can contribute to the adverse consequences of drinking. And there's also things like unfair treatment or racial discrimination that can contribute to these negative outcomes, and also things like there being more stigma towards having alcohol problems among certain racial and ethnic minority groups. And this stigma is worse than the stigma about alcohol use among white persons. So these types of things, discrimination, stigma, unfair treatment, these things are referred to as psychosocial stressors that are unique to racial and ethnic minority groups. And these are the types of things that I'm particularly interested in studying.
Glass suspects that these kinds of experiences or psychosocial stressors might have an effect on a person's mindset when they drink.
One way to think about this is that there are many different motivations for why people drink. You might drink to complement a meal, to mark a transition, like from a work week to a weekend. But in other times, you might use alcohol to alleviate tension or to cope when you're stressed out about something. So the point is that any individual may do both, but some people tend to have more stressful experiences than others. And when you drink to cope, worse outcomes tend to happen. In other words, what I'm talking about is pertinent to disparities is that if you're drinking in response to everyday stressors such as discrimination, stigma, and unfair treatment related to your race or ethnicity, it could definitely lead to worse outcomes.
I asked Professor Glass about the mechanisms behind this, or how race, ethnicity, and these psychosocial stressors connect when we're thinking about unhealthy alcohol use.
So the reason that this project in particular looks at race, ethnicity, discrimination, and poverty all at the same time is because of what some researchers call cumulative stress. And what cumulative stress theories say is that potentially when people experience one form of stress, such as poverty, their coping resources may be already taxed when they begin to experience another stressor. So you might say that the individual has used up some of their coping resources. So a perfect example of this is somebody living in poverty. They may be worrying about how they're going to pay the bills. And then once they're introduced with another stressor, such as racial discrimination, it can make things much, much worse than the stress would be if they hadn't been experiencing stress due to poverty. So you might say that the effect of one stressor could be magnified when you're already experiencing another stressor.
Still, Glass cautions that more stress doesn't in and of itself mean that someone is going to experience worse alcohol outcomes.
It's important to consider that some research has found that people who are used to experiencing stressors can actually end up with improved coping resources to deal with future stress. So, you know, we know that people have a lot of strengths, and coping can definitely be one of them. And we can learn to cope in different ways. So, for instance, if someone has been discriminated against in the past and they know it's wrong, and maybe they've been taught or otherwise know that the discrimination is because the aggressor is being racist or is enacting some sort of stigma, some research says that knowing this and realizing this can help the individual to be able to better cope when they experience future discrimination. Somebody may be able to access the support they need so that when they experience discrimination in the future, they can handle it more easily and lean on others who they can relate to that have had that experience. It's totally possible that this theory of cumulative stress doesn't apply for all people or many people. We conducted this research in mind with this being a potential limitation. And we were interested in seeing if cumulative stress in general is one reason that alcohol outcomes tend to be worse among African Americans, Hispanics, and other racial and ethnic minority groups.
Glass says that his study confirmed prior studies, which have shown that African Americans and those living in poverty tend to have worse alcohol outcomes. But they found something else going on, too.
African Americans and people who were living below the poverty line had worse drinking outcomes over the 3-year study period as compared to people who were more privileged in those areas. We also found that what you call an interaction effect. So specifically, white persons who are not in poverty tend to do a lot better than poor whites in terms of the consequences of drinking. However, for African Americans, this finding didn't exist. In other words, African Americans, regardless of poverty status, tended to have worse alcohol outcomes than whites who were above the poverty threshold. One way to interpret this is that the effect of poverty is different depending on your race or ethnicity. Perhaps the protective effect of living above the poverty line that existed for whites did not exist for African Americans.
So this finding suggests a connection between discrimination and worse alcohol outcomes for African Americans, but Professor Glass says that despite these worse outcomes, there are differences in alcohol use that run in the opposite direction.
So people who are living below the poverty threshold tend to drink less than people who are above the poverty threshold. But they tend to do worse in terms of the negative consequences that they experience when they do drink. And the same thing is true for African Americans and Hispanics in many studies. As a whole, African Americans and Hispanics tend to drink less than whites, and that's pretty clear from many research studies. But when you hold alcohol consumption constant, people living below the poverty line, as well as African Americans, they end up doing worse than whites in terms of the negative consequences of drinking.
Treatment for alcohol use disorders is often thought of in terms of the individual, but Glass says that findings like these are a good reminder of the very social nature of these issues. And so I asked him how we might approach all of this from a policy perspective.
Well, we know that alcohol use disorders are really costly to society. Economists say that they're more costly than cancer or heart disease. They're also the third leading cause of death in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control. And alcohol use disorders cause all sorts of individual harm and social harm. And we need to think more about how poverty and racial and ethnic discrimination, and more about disparities in general, particularly how we should target these factors when we design prevention programs to try to reduce alcohol problems in the U.S. So prevention programs can be targeted or tailored more to racial and ethnic minorities. That's one policy implication. But also, I think we should do more to reduce the sources of these differences in alcohol outcomes, so to try to remove the sources of these disparities. We need to think about ways to reduce economic disparities, ways to improve access to treatment, ways to reduce discrimination. You know, if we removed all these things, it's totally possible that the differences in the outcomes of alcohol use that we see in research would go away and essentially result in health equity.
Thanks to Joe Glass for discussing these issues with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research in Poverty.